And welcome to another edition of the E-Factor, brought to you by the Clinton County Chamber of Commerce in Frankfort, Indiana. So glad to be with you once again. I'm Shan Sheridan, the Director of the Chamber and Economic Development here in Clinton County. And we're excited today about our guest, and I'm going to get to that in just a moment. But first, I want to set this E-Factor show up. If this is your first time listening to the E-Factor, you know, or may not know, I should say, that the E-Factor is all about the E-tributes of a community. That's right, not the attributes, but the E-tributes. What are the E-factors in our community? Education, employment, entrepreneurialism, entertainment. There's so many things that, well, begin with that letter E that we think are important. Encouragement, empowerment, but most of all, engagement. And we're going to talk about engagement today, but we're going to really focus on that other E that I mentioned earlier, and that is education. Because I do have our lead educator here in the city of Frankfort, our superintendent of the Community Schools of Frankfort, Mr. Don DeWeese. Don, thanks for joining me on the E-Factor.
It's my pleasure, Shan. This is exciting. It's the first time I've had the opportunity to be with you and talk about the ease of our community.
Absolutely. So we've known each other for a few years now, and I tell you what, it's been a blessing, Don, because you started in this position actually as an assistant here in the Community Schools of Frankfort, correctly? You're assistant superintendent?
That is correct. I worked as the assistant superintendent for 3 years, and I've now worked as a superintendent for the past 6 years, and we're 1 week away from starting my seventh school year as superintendent.
It's amazing as the years go by and we look back and we say, wow, that doesn't seem that long ago. And it's 10 years ago or 5 years ago or 3 years ago. And it just seems like a few months ago. And I think as the older we get, that's something that happens more often even as we talk about that. Well, let's talk a little bit about the transition, first of all, from assistant superintendent to the main cheese, the top dog, if you will, here as the leader of the hot dog pack. How did that transition work for you, and how important of a role has that been in your life?
It was a change, and it was one of those changes that I really wasn't aware of. And that's because throughout my career as a teacher, a coach, a principal, it was all about school. And even though the superintendency is about school, it's also a lot about the community, the politics, who has the power in a community. And I had never had those types of experiences. The assistant superintendent takes care of the day-to-day operations of a school. And that's what I knew as a professional. I knew how to do school. I knew how to handle the problems that came up. And then you switch offices, and I'd never had a chance to work for a board. I had always worked for one boss. Now I had seven individuals that I was charged with getting them to agree on things. And so that took a while, but it's been such a great job. And as you know, when I came to this community, I did my research. I wanted to work in a community where people took education seriously. And here I am 9 years later. If I wanted to move somewhere else, I'd have to go by myself because my wife's not leaving. So she loves this community as well. And we, even though we're new, we still feel like Frankfort is our home.
Absolutely. And Susie, you both live here in Frankfort and enjoy. I see you out on the streets quite a bit. And that's a real blessing, I think, because so often executives and folks that maybe work in a community, they don't also live in the community. So what a tremendous blessing it is to have our superintendent of schools live here. And I'm sure you're happy that your wife joined you as well. So because she had a home back, I think, down in near Indianapolis area.
Correct. Yeah. We did. We lived in Speedway before we moved here, and it has been an extreme blessing for us. She does enjoy. We love our house. We live, I think most people know that we live right across the street from the golf course. Mm-hmm. We see the golfers. We love the golf course. I take my dog for a walk on the golf course every evening, and it's just become part of our life. And I would like to think that we are engaged in the community. We enjoy being a part of it, and we enjoy our neighbors and the people in this town.
Well, I would agree. You are very engaged. You sit on a variety of different boards. You sit in a variety of different committees. Your eye is on the ball when it comes to education in our community. I want to go back a little bit earlier to a statement you made about coaching and teaching. You came up in the ranks in education, like most superintendents do. But what lessons did you learn from coaching and teaching that you've been able to bring into the superintendent role?
I think there's two large lessons that I feel have been valuable to me. One is the long hours that you put in. As a middle school basketball coach and a high school baseball coach, often my boys had to come to me so that I would see them in season because it's a 6 day a week, lot of hours, and but that's just, it's what the job is. So I learned that. And then I consider myself a good problem solver. And as a coach, you just have to solve problems. Whether you've got a rain out and you've got things that you've got to reschedule, you've got runners at first and third, and you have to decide, am I going to pinch hit for this kid? How is this going to affect that youngster's self? If I pinch hit for him at the last minute, how important is the win? Those kinds of things, I have found that over the years, I consider myself a good problem solver and a good decision maker.
Well, and you look at that, I like that how you brought that up as far as the pinch hitter, knowing how that could impact the mental wellness or the emotional health of a young person in that situation, because you do have to look at the long term. I think most educators get that and understand that you're planting seeds and you're hopefully being a part of the cultivation as well, and the watering and all that goes along with that seed planting. But you know, we often get so caught up in a world of win-win or winning is everything that we sometimes forget the human component.
It is, and it. I was young and naive at one time in my life, and I recall an incident. This probably happened 7 or 8 years later, but my wife and boys were out for dinner, and a young man comes up, and he's our waiter, and he looks down at me, and he says, "Mr. DeWeese, how are you?" And I recognized him. I said, "Well, hi, Chris. How are you?" And he said, the first thing that came to his mind, "You remember you cut me in basketball as an eighth grader." I felt about a half an inch tall. And I felt like I had to defend. I said, "Oh, now, Chris, I remember that. But, you know, I also did a lot of good for you." Well, I learned something that day, Shan. You're right. There's things a lot more important than wins and losses, and as we cultivate and as we develop young people, because I have a nice framed quote on my desk, and it says, "Children, they are our only future." You cannot go to Walmart and buy a future.
Right.
Our future is in our homes and in our schools in this community, and we have to teach them well.
Absolutely. Now, as you bring up a good point, we segue into children learning. Something that we've been highly engaged with lately is early childhood learning. And when you mentioned that quote, It reminded me of what the very same things that we've been talking about in those committee meetings and discussion with Early Learning Indiana, the YMCA, and of course Megan's daycare being a part of all of this, kind of a triad of three folks that won this grant. We'll talk about that in a moment. But how important it is it to you, Don, as a superintendent, but as also a lifelong educator, to get these young minds early?
We often have overlooked that. And I think in the last 15 to 20 years, there have been some states in our country that have really recognized the importance. And I believe that our state is coming to that. And just like in any decision, we have to grapple with it a little bit. We have to figure out how much do we need to fund that. But even though the research of the brain has been around for 40 to 50 to 60 years, I think brain research is just in the last 10 years really starting to turn a corner and impact the way that we do business. And we now know that preschool brain, that 3, 4, 5-year-old brain is just prime for molding for the future. And if we miss, pardon the expression, but you know, sometimes you have to strike when the iron's hot. Mm. And sometimes we're missing that. Mm. And that's why I'm so pleased that the Chamber and Early Childhood Learning Coalition, everyone is grabbing this and saying, oh no, we have to talk about this. We have to find a way to improve those opportunities for our kids here in Frankfort.
Well, we just mentioned jokingly about time earlier, about how quickly time flies. You know, what our future will soon be our now. I mean, when you think about that. So if we're not investing in the now, if we're not planting the seed now, if we're not watering and cultivating now, you know, the garden doesn't become so fruitful. And I think, to me, going back from an agricultural analogy, that if we can get that seed that we know is ready to burst forth and ready to blossom, know that we've got to deal with the weeds, and we got to deal with some of the other things to make sure and protect the seed. You know, I think that early stage and farmers will tell you that early development of that seed is so vital and important to a good crop. And if we could get that mindset, I think as educators, and most educators I believe do, but maybe as leaders, whether it be presidents or governors or senators or legislators, to understand that the future is now quicker than we think.
You've heard me say before, Shan, that most of our states in our country spend, let's say, $80,000 over 13 years in public schools to educate children, each child.
Per child, yeah.
Per child. But we'll pay almost $80,000 a year later to incarcerate someone. Mm. And I think your analogy to the farming business, if you mine the store more early, you may have to mine the store less later in life.
Right.
And in the end, it's pretty simple economics because we know there's only so much money to go around. And do we want to prepare kids, or do we want to fix them a little bit later in life?
Well, and it goes to the point, we've talked about this offline before, regarding post-secondary education and how much money is spent in the universities and colleges around the country. a lot of money is spent on, and maybe a student decides, this college is not for me, and spent a lot of money on the first year, and it's not going to finish. Maybe if there would have been more money spent or more time or a more investment made, and maybe let's not put it in dollars, investment could be time, it could be energy, it could be funding. But if more investment were made on the front end, possibly we would have a better outcome on the back end. And I think that's what you're trying to say.
I agree. Yeah. I think, and you know, that brings us, you'll probably bring this up, but you know, that brings us to our Indiana Promise,
yep.
you know, the 529
yep.
program
yep.
that, you know, we're going to be rolling out here soon. Again, trying to make that investment on the front end rather than chasing it later in a child's life. But we are in the business of educating kids. Whichever kid walks through our door, we're going to educate them. And right now, we're saying, we're going to take you as a four-year-old. And
that's exciting because that's what's that's happening now.
Yes.
You're getting ready to start it.
We have people walking through our doors right now.
You got a little toddler out there right now in the lobby.
Absolutely, carrying more books than she weighs. And for the first time, we've been able to open that up to say, come on, bring your four-year-olds in. And I think this year, Shan, we're going to be up to... We're going to provide some type of service for up to 50% of next year's kindergarten class.
Wow.
And that number's been down closer to 20 to 25% in years past.
Wow.
So our work together with the Early Childhood Learning Coalition is, I think, is going to prove to be extraordinary benefits 10 to 12 to 15 to 20 years from now.
Oh, absolutely. And I think as we look at this on the bigger, broader picture, it also impacts the parents now, because the parents understand and recognize, man, if my child is getting that good quality education, they're in a safe environment, they're in a place where even playtime becomes learn time, That means a lot as a parent and as a grandparent.
Yeah, absolutely. You can go off to work and not worry as much, because we all do. We all think about our kids. We mm-hmm. worry about our kids. Are they okay? Are they safe? And we spend a lot of our time, effort, and resources to show, to demonstrate to our parents their kids are safe. We care for their kids. No one loves their child like their parent, but we do. We care about our kids, and we can't wait to meet our new 4-year-olds. In 2 weeks, they're coming through the door, and you know, that just adds a whole new dynamic to a school building, having 4-year-olds on your campus.
Oh, yeah. When you talk about youth, now you're changing it completely. The whole mindset, you talk about energy.
Absolutely.
that brings up the energy level clear. And I think it certainly brings up the cuteness level as well, because you got all these cute kids running around. Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing like going in a classroom with some kindergartners or preschoolers and hearing brutal honesty.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they'll say, why do you have that mark on your head? Well, that's just something I have on my head.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Some of that, Shan, is that motivation of what brings me to work every day. I absolutely love working with kids.
Absolutely. And you can tell it. And that's something that we appreciate you as the superintendent here for the Community Schools of Frankfort. You know, you've talked about early childhood learning. We did receive a grant that is being worked out right now as far as the contract. And the YMCA was a part of that, the Community Schools of Frankfort, and then Megan's Daycare a part of that. We were able to work basically a triad of, and I love the way this really turned out. We had a private entity with Megan, we had a non-for-profit in the YMCA, and then we had an educational governmental mm-hmm. Run facility, all receiving dollars to boast and boost our early childhood learning program.
To be a part of that, it has been so exciting. I remember meeting over at the United Way back in January on a day when it was like 5 below 0, and here it is,
yep.
7-8 months later, and it's coming to fruition. Eric Farley, notified me this morning that the furniture order is going to be just a few days late, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
For education, all you really need are kids.
That's right.
You just need kids. It's nice if you have a roof, and it's nice if you have, but for learning to take place, you just need a group of people.
Right.
And so we can make it for a few days without the furniture, but curriculum's going to be there. Our teachers and our assistant, they're all ready to go. They've had some professional training this week, and they will continue for the next few days. I open invitation to you, Shan. Come by and see it anytime you want.
Yeah, sorry about that slight little technology break, but and as we were talking about the furniture, and I appreciate the open invitation, I will certainly get out here and check out everything that's going on here in the community schools of Frankfurt regarding early childhood learning. And I tell you, Don, it's exciting. We talk about that. We talk about the 529 promise as we get gearing young people to think about college and beyond. And it's not just about college. It's about vocational training. It's about their career. It's about a pathway. And that's what we've been talking about with early childhood learning for quite a while. How do we get kids on a pathway that keep them out of that as we were talking about being incarcerated or keeping them out of that troubled time in their life, that if they have a better education, how this is going to impact them for a lifetime?
It is, it's one of those items that's easier said than done. We all know that some of our students, it just comes natural to them. Their parents are talking about that at home. And some of our kids, it is more difficult, but we are going to begin that discussion a little bit earlier. We began that discussion in middle school, and we just had a meeting on Monday with our elementary principals. We're going to push that discussion down into the upper elementary, fourth and fifth graders, so that they're aware of those pathways as they go into and begin choosing their classes at the middle school level. Now, we think that will move the needle some, that awareness. But all through middle school, it's a lot of conversation with counselors, with teachers. And we know there's an age-old problem there. Some of our kids, they're not for sure what they want to do. And that's not uncommon, but we keep that conversation going. We keep offering this wide variety of curriculum. We give kids some choices and give them opportunity. Eventually, they're going to land on a path. Now, you and I both are so excited because we've both been in on these meetings for the last several years, but this workplace ethics certificate.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my! I'm getting a little tingly just mm-hmm. talking about it. That is so exciting that we are, you know, this coming year is going to be the first time that our students here at all of the high schools in Clinton County, where kids can earn that workplace certificate. I am so pleased and excited about that. I think that's going to really make a difference of getting our kids to where that they know more about what is happening in our industrial park.
Absolutely, and I'm glad you're reading my mind, because we keep tracking down basically from early childhood development all the way to our careers. And when we think about the workforce ethics certification, that's just something that Governor Pence, then Governor Pence, of course now Vice President Pence, instilled, started to, actually it was from a lot of discussion with economic development and workforce development people that conversation evolved into what does the manufacturer and does the industrial folks really want and want to see? And so they put together some thoughts, and they came up with this program called the WEC, the Workforce Ethics Certification, which means that you got to have 6 hours of community service, 6 hours of school service. You've got to have a grade point average of 2.0. And most importantly, they're looking for 98% attendance rate. And some people go, 98%. But, you know, when you and I went to school, I don't know about you, but I didn't have a choice. My parents, it was pretty much, you're going to school. It doesn't matter if you got a snotty nose or whatever the case may be, you're going to school.
It is exactly right. That is something that at the time, I didn't know I was lucky. Mm-hmm. But later, I went back and kissed my mother and said, thank you so much
for pushing me.
For making me go to Sunday school, making me get up on those mornings when I didn't want to go to school.
Yeah.
And you can always find two or three excuses why not to do something.
Right.
But my mom and dad said, up and go. And I'm very fortunate to have that. We know that not all of our students have that. And so we as a school, we try to instill that. We try to develop that in kids. 98%. You can miss 3 days.
Yep.
That's pretty tight. But if you really want to get serious about not just surviving, but making a good living, providing for your family, you got to show up.
That's right.
We, as an employer, because as you are well aware, we're one of the larger employers in Clinton County, and we can't have people that never show up.
Right.
Somebody's got to do their job.
Right.
And we are a type of business that you got to be present. And so we appreciate that as well. I don't think we can overstate this in this community, how blessed we are to have the 14 or 15 businesses that we have out in our industrial park that so I'm going to do as a superintendent, I'm going to do everything I can do to work with them, coordinate and collaborate to where that our kids at some point in their life, they're going to be ready to step in and keep that work going because it's important.
Absolutely. And they're learning such a valuable lesson. And the folks in the industrial park appreciate it because they are trying to get those bodies to work on a regular basis. Well, you know, we've covered early childhood learning. We've talked about the process of the workforce education or the ethics certification. And then, of course, the Promise 529 promise. Something recently that's happened, the dark side of education, school shootings and things like that. You've recently, working with the city of Frankfort, made state news this past week.
We did, and we're very proud of that. As you are aware, we have five campuses, and for the past several years, the school has paid for off-duty police officers. We hire them for security. One's placed at the high school and one is placed at the middle school. Well, starting this school year, in a collaborative effort and the generosity of the city of Frankfort, and tip of the hat to Mayor McBarnes and Police Chief Troy Bacon, because we've worked on this over the summer. But we're going to start with a uniformed police officer at Blue Ridge Green Meadows, at Suncrest Middle School and High School. We're going to take care of the two that we have. The city is going to place an officer at the other two campuses, and then we will have a third school resource officer that is going to be going school to school and teaching curriculum, making connections with kids. We're stepping into a very enviable position, because I think most communities would love to have this kind of connection with their local police department, and it truly is because of the mayor and Chief Bacon. So we are excited about that, and you're right, it does offer a dark side, but the research is pretty clear. the number one item that will deter violence in a school is the presence of a uniformed, armed police officer. And we're going to have those on all of our campuses. Yeah.
It's going to be an exciting year. I told you, Don, this time would fly by. We're done 30 minutes. It's hard to believe. But I thank you so much for joining us today on the E-Factor. Education is a huge attribute of a community, and you guys do such a great job. Keep up the great work.
Thanks, Shan. Appreciate it.
All right. Hey, we're going to be back next week. We thank you for joining us. And don't forget, you may be the E in somebody's life, the encouragement, the empowerment, the engagement in someone's else's life, and maybe that hope that they need to just go another day. Make sure you think about that this weekend and beyond. Have a great one. We'll talk to you soon.